Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay, the recap. The game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the man keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a click. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Every day, every season. That's how it goes down. That's what the man said. You're now tuned in to the mayor, GQ Palace. After further review, Hard Body Karate is going down. You got 2 hours. Listen in. If you don't listen in for a few minutes, give us a vibe. 646-200-3838 is the number to call. Press 1 if you want to get in on the conversation. The man is on one tonight. The mayor's getting busy, man. Big night of sports. We got a game 7 between the Los Angeles Kings and the San Jose Sharks. That's in the hockey Western Conference finals. And then we got a game 4 tonight in the Eastern Conference finals in the NBA between the Miami Heat and the Indiana Pacers. And we got interleague baseball popping off. Man, it's crazy. Mets and Yankees right now in a delay. A bunch of games in delays, man. Washington and Baltimore, they're in a delay. A lot of stuff popping off tonight, man. You're here, and I'm glad that you're here with me, man. You could be anywhere else, but you already heard that already. 646-200-3838, like the song says. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. You got the mayor in the building, man. My man Rich, the CEO, is holding down the whole situation back there. I got Miss Lavina on the keys and all that. Claude and Bell and the whole 9 yards. Where do we begin, man? Touch on this little basketball for a second here. What are the Pacers gonna do? But before we get into that, let's have a moment of silence for the Memphis Grizzlies. Okay. They never showed up. You know, so I don't really want to get into them. You know, they did what they had to do. They went as far as they can go, and that was it. Shout out to the San Antonio Spurs, Western Conference champions. They're waiting for their opponent. They'll find out who their opponent is gonna be. It's either gonna be the Miami Heat or the Indiana Pacers. Game 4 tonight. At the Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Indianapolis, Indiana. Really, the series is going status quo, man. Nobody should really be surprised, or nobody should be, you know, upset at how the series is going. You know, last year at this point, when Indiana and Miami was playing in the playoffs, actually it was a second round series, I believe. Indiana was ahead of Miami at this point, 2-1. So, you know, I think Indiana can compete. I would hope to see a good long series, you know, but I think that Indiana, you know, has to get started tonight if they plan on hanging around, you know, too much longer. You know, they have to get started with it tonight. they're giving a good representation of themselves. You know, I give it to Indiana. No Danny Granger, you know, Hibbert's playing, you know, kind of like above his head right now. You know, Lance Stephenson is adding that thing up, you know, that thing that they need. You know, he's playing with a little bit of IQ right now. You got to appreciate that and like that from Lance. You know, the usual suspects showing up for Indiana, and some of the usual suspects are not having showed up yet. So hopefully, you know, this will be the start of where the series really, really gets good. It goes back down to Miami for game 5, and you wouldn't want Indiana to be down 3-1. That'd be a closeout game, and I don't think that Indiana will last too long past that. So what Indiana needs to do tonight is to show up. You know, I hate to say they have to steal a win at home, but that's how it's looking that they're going to have to do. They have to steal a win at home because they didn't really show up in Game 3. They got blown in Game 3. Comparing how the series has gone so far, You know, each game is going down to the last minute. But game three was just kind of like basically all Miami. They just like really was, you know, took charge of the series. So, yeah, game four about to pop off at 8:30. Game seven of the Western Conference between the Kings and the San Jose Sharks. Picture that. They're playing, you know, for championships in California in hockey. The Los Angeles Kings are the defending champs. So, know how that go. The Yankees and the Mets and the rain delays, interleague baseball. I got the kite earlier from our friend Kia. She says you want to talk to baseball, so I'm looking forward to her calling in later on. A little bit after the 9 o'clock hour, we might have some calling in from Balanced Warriors. And that's going to be basically in response to, you know, all these cats running around the NBA, especially in the NBA, with these capri pants and all these crazy colorful get-ups. I got some very important people calling in later on tonight. We'll check in and try to break it down for us how these cats should be presenting themselves, you know, after their press conferences and things like that. So hang out with us. 8 to 10, man, it goes down. Hard body karate. You got the mayor in the building, man. You got Chiku Palace, man. Doing it well. That's the old LL record. Can't wait for the Kings of the Mic tour, man. It's going down, man. I'm gonna be in the building for that. Screaming like a groupie. Those are all my groups right there. De La Soul, PE, Ice Cube. You know what I mean? LL. It's going down, man. So we'll be in the building definitely for that. But yeah, right now you here, man. It's the Tuesday Night Vibe. 8 to 10, 646-200-3838 is the mass. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. You got the mayor in the building, man. What else can we touch on? The situation with Rutgers. I really don't feel that it really deserves any more attention than it's already gotten. That's why I haven't mentioned it in after further review. Because basically, it's, you know, what did we learn from the last situation that was dealing with Rutgers when Mike Rice was, you know, smacking his players up and it was causing a lot of transfers and things of that nature? Now, you know, they're going, it's a situation now with the athletic director. You know, now they want to take it back to 2008 and how she was, you know, I guess mistreating her volleyball players, you know. And this was at Tennessee. So she's at Rutgers now, but they want to dig in the crates and pull out some stuff that she did back in 2008. If that's the case, how did she get the job at Rutgers in the first place? So somebody didn't do their due diligence. So, of course, we're going to hear a whole bunch of, you know, hoo-ha and everybody doing double reverses and nobody want to take no blame. So I just think the situation at Rutgers needs to kind of be blown up. You know, look how they did SMU back in the days. They gave SMU the death penalty, you know. And basically what that meant is that they couldn't play, you know, any football for about 5 or 6 years. It might have been more than that, you know, but it goes down. And this and stuff like this, you know, that goes on in today's society shouldn't really go on. If you learn your lessons from, you know, from past days or whatever. But here we are, and the same thing still goes down. So, you know, some things change and more things stay the same. Shout out to Jeff Hornacek. He got hired by the Phoenix Suns as their coach. He used to play for Phoenix, so he's going back to the essence. Not really feeling how that, you know, Sacramento Kings, they got the sale to the group in Sacramento approved. They should have did that 2 years ago, so they wouldn't have had a problem, you know. And I think David Stern still has to deal with, you know, Seattle, as far as, you know, putting a franchise in Seattle before he leaves in February. David Stern is out of here February 14th, 2014. I got it down to the date. I can't wait for this dude to get out of here. You know, for all the good that he's done in the league, he's also done a lot of, you know, bad stuff, you know, recently. And really doesn't have any, you know, explanation except for I can do it. And you can't, and that doesn't work for me. So, you know, he has his days are numbered. So that's all we can do is wait for him to get out of here, and hopefully we can get some more stuff done as far as the NBA post-David Stern. All right? I don't know if you heard, but Maurice Jones-Drew plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was in a misdemeanor incident, and basically I guess the charges got dropped or whatever, and I just think it was a big to-do about nothing. You know, all this news broke that he was in trouble and he got jammed up, and then come to find out the charges get dropped. So I just think that, you know, like I said earlier, in today's society, you can't really breathe too hard without somebody, you know, noticing it and telling TMZ or ESPN or somebody's watching you. Everybody's watching somebody. So especially these cats that's making all this money, you know, they are under the scope real hard, real heavy. Shout out to the big homie, Rodney Z, holding it down, Michigan style. See how the Blackhawks snuck that Game 7 in there for you, man. I thought the Red Wings were going to handle their business. But taking it down to a Game 7 tomorrow night, man. Chicago Blackhawks, Detroit Red Wings in Chicago is going down. But right now, you're here with the mayor, 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get it on the conversation, man, and it goes down. Back to baseball, man. A little sad news. Dr. Lewis Yoakam. He was basically one of the guys that really, major league players and athletes went to check on their, their arms and elbows and legs and knees and stuff. He passed away. He was 66, and he was just, like, real influential as far as dealing with, you know, athletes and getting them right, you know what I mean? So, sending one up for Dr. Yoakam and his family and for the whole, you know, sports family as a whole, man, because, you know, he's going to be missed. Yankees. I begin with the Yankees, I end with the Yankees. They're still doing their numbers, you know what I mean? Holding down, you know, now they're in second place right now. They're a game behind Boston. So I'm hoping that the fall isn't going to start now. They've been holding it down for the first couple of months of the season. And you know, now hopefully they only lost two in a row. There's still 10 games over, so we're still good, in good shape. But I just hope that, you know, these injuries and all this stuff is not going to catch up to us by the end of the season. I just kind of like, when I was having a conversation with some people earlier, man, in regards to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Do we think that the Pirates are going to make the playoffs this year? I was like, forget the playoffs. Are the Pirates going to win 80 games? Okay, they haven't won 80 plus games since 1992. And that was the year that they were in the National League Championship Series. And that was the year when last year Barry Bonds played for the Pirates, actually. That game was in 92 when Francisco Cabrera got to hit the left field and slow Sid Bream couldn't be thrown out at the plate. And that's the year when the Atlanta Braves went to the World Series back in 1992. But, we were talking, and I was saying, well, maybe the Pirates, you know, might have it, you know, to win 82 games. We don't need them to win 81. They need to win 82 so they can clinch an over 500 mark, which they haven't had in the past 20 years. You know, this year they starting off good. They're 31-20, but last year they started off real good, too. So I won't talk about them anymore until probably, like, August. We'll see where they're at on August 1st. We'll check back with the Pirates and see where they are, because usually they have a little tendency to get tired at the end of the season, because this baseball season is definitely a grind. Definitely a grind, and, you know, how you start at the beginning is not necessarily how you're going to end up. So, yeah, we here, man. It's going down. Give us a call, man. If you feel like chopping it up, talking some sports, man, it goes down. And in regards to the cats that think a lot of Googling is going on, those are the ones who I really need to call so we can have this spontaneous conversation. You know what I'm saying? So everything is everything, man. You know, a lot of people like to, you know, hide behind stuff and things of that nature. You could tell in a person's conversation, even in the Facebook rooms and all that good stuff, you could tell from a person's conversation how, you know, if they were really, you know, witness some events, or they just talking or they just regurgitating what somebody else said. You know what I mean? We're all over the place when it comes to sports after further review. We don't care if it's a Scully game being played on Myrtle Avenue. If it's sports, then we there. You know, shout out to everybody, man. Shout out to Lavina behind the board, man. Shout out to Big Rich, the CEO, holding it down. Shout out to Bounce Back Energy Drink, man. You know, they doing what they do, man. And it is what it is. Want to touch a little bit on Everett Golson, the quarterback at Notre Dame. He just kind of like all of a sudden, he said that in his Twitter account that he was, you know, sorry, and he, you know, he hopes to go back to Notre Dame. He got suspended for a semester for academic reasons. Now, he was the one that put it out there that he said that it was academic reasons. Now, I think that you should be more specific, because that gives, you know, people the option to kind of like use their imagination. Were you caught cheating on a test? Was somebody taking classes for you? Did you not go to class? You know, don't talk, don't generalize it. Speak to it. So that way, everybody, you know, won't be any misconceptions or any assumptions made about your situation because you're the one that spoke on it. Everett Golson used to be quarterback at Notre Dame. Took Notre Dame to a championship game and things of that nature. So what happened? Now, all of a sudden, you just walking away from school, thinking about maybe you want to earn your right to come back. So what happened? Don't leave people hanging saying it was some academic situation. It was an academic problem. That could mean anything. So that's what I mean. I don't feel like you should just, you know, leave people hanging like that. You know, if you want people to not, you know, come up with these wild, inane theories about why you got kicked out of school, because that's the bottom line. You basically got kicked out of school. You know what I mean? So why did you get kicked out of school? Is it something that you did that you wasn't supposed to do? We're going to find out anyway. So why would you even, you know, put it out there where people can speculate and use their own assumptions? But that's the society that we live in today, man. It goes down, man. I'm not touching Lance Armstrong. I'm not messing with that. You know what I mean? He got his burn. He get his burn on ESPN, man. We talk about real honest-to-goodness stuff over here, man, after further review. Can I get the applause for that? We're not on steroids over here. No, we might talk like you on steroids. But we ain't on those steroids. We know what we're talking about over here. Hard body. It goes down. So, yeah, man, 862. I mean, it's 862-200-3838. You caught me in a brain fart right there. You caught me in a brain fart, man. I'm looking at too much stuff right now. You know the math, man. We've been doing this for a long time. You know the digits to call, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is. 646-200-3838. I had to get myself together. Let me get some applause for that, for getting myself together. I would like to know people's opinion as well, too, about the name change for the Washington Redskins. They're still pressing that issue about changing the name of the Washington Redskins. I don't know, you know, what suggestions that they want to come up with, or, you know, if they're just going to, you know, lead the charge with this name change. All of a sudden, everybody wants to be so politically correct, and they don't want to offend anybody, you know. And I was having a conversation where I said, took all the sports team names. All of them got to get changed. Because if you're talking about, for example, you're talking about the San Francisco Giants or the New York Giants, isn't that offensive to, like, short people? I'm not being facetious, and I'm not being, you know, being silly about it. I'm being real. Everybody's so sensitive about a name. And, again, this one, you know, it has, you know, repercussions, and it reaches far and beyond just the name. I get that. But it's been going – you had this name forever, and nobody was bothered by it, okay? You know what I mean? So, I mean, do you change the Atlanta Braves? Do you change the Florida State Seminoles? Do you change the Cleveland Indians? You know, do you change that? Okay, we can give you an example of how it works and how it doesn't really work. The St. John's Redmen. They used to be the Redmen. Everything was great with St. John's. One of the best college basketball teams ever. Didn't win the championships, but they were a good team. They changed the name to the Red Storm. And we haven't heard of them. We haven't heard from St. John since. So I just think that, you know, it's a balance. You know what I mean? Why are people looking at it and say, oh, well, okay, the Atlanta Braves, that's an offensive name. Okay, well, it was offensive in, this is 2013. It was offensive in 2012. It was offensive in 1992. It was offensive in 1972. It was offensive in 1942. So what's the problem now? You know, so I don't understand why people all of a sudden they want to be politically correct. They worry about what somebody else is going to say and what somebody else is going to think. And I got an opinion about that, too, but I think that's for the Friday night show or for the Monday night show. Shout out to my man Dallas, man, who holds it down on Monday night, man. Hard body karate, man. You be having my eardrums bleeding, my dude. Woo! So, yeah, it goes down, man. Shout out to everybody, man. GT Talents, man. Yeah. Yeah, it goes down. So, yeah, man, we here, man, and we all over the place with it. So whatever you want to talk about, I got you covered. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. The game is about to pop off in about 10 minutes in Indiana. A score check right quick. I don't know. A lot of games are on delay in baseball. The Yankees and the Mets are in the delay at Citi Field. It's a good pitching matchup tonight, too, man. Matt Harvey was going for the Mets. and Hiroki Kuroda was going for the Yankees. So we had an excellent pitching matchup. But Mother Nature was like, nah. We gonna wait a little while on that one. So score check goes down right now. Like I said, it's the Mets and the Yankees and a delay at Citi Field. Philadelphia Phillies and the Boston Red Sox at Fenway are tied at 1 in the top of the 5th. Bottom of the 4th in Cincinnati is the Reds 3 and the Indians nothing. Bottom of the 3rd in Tampa is Miami Marlins 4, Tampa Bay Rays 2. Bottom of the 1st in Chicago, the White Sox and the Cubs playing their situation, no score out there. Top of the 1st in Kansas City is the Cardinals 2 and the Royals nothing. Bottom of the 1st at Miller Park in Milwaukee, Twins 0, Brewers 0. Everything else is a later start. Earlier today, the Braves beat the Blue Jays in 10 innings, 7-6. And the Colorado Rockies beat the Houston Astros 2-1. So that's your little score rundown for baseball. Let me see. Did anybody get a chance to watch the fight over the weekend? It was Carl Froch and Mikel Kessler. There was a rematch. They were unifying the titles. And Carl Froch beat Mikel Kessler. It was a good fight. It just didn't seem like Kessler, you know, turned it on to like the third or the fourth round. So Carl Froch was ready, and possibly that might be a fight down the line with Carl Froch and Bernard Hopkins. We might talk about that later on when we get the Balanced Warriors calling in, because they said they want to discuss some boxing. So basically, man, we got all the bases covered, man. It's going down. So we're just waiting for the tip-off for the Heat and the Pacers game 4. We're waiting for them to drop the puck in game 7, L.A. and San Jose. And basically, that's what it is, man. So we're here to talk about it, and that's another thing when it goes down. Whenever you're ready to talk, it goes down. It's right here. I'm going to add my 2 cents in right quick, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave it alone. Joe Theismann is bugging when he says that he sees potential NFL quarterback in LeBron James. Leave it alone. And I think that Joe Theismann likes to see his name in the print, and people be talking about him. He just says stuff, you know, crazy stuff. Not that it's so crazy that it couldn't happen, but I don't think that it should be talked about right now when LeBron James has a great career in basketball and things of that nature. So, you know, as far as the fantasy talk, you know, Joe Theismann can have that. But as far as real life reality, I don't know. Joe Theismann needs to leave that one alone, you know. And in regards to Adrian Peterson and his remark earlier in the week that he was not for gay marriage, or he's not into gay marriage, or he doesn't want to talk about it, or he doesn't agree with it. That's his thing. You're gonna hear a lot of that. So I don't know how that makes Adrian Peterson look now in fans' eyes or whatever, because he spoke his mind. You know, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, is gonna be a dividing line in the whole, you know, gay conversation. You know, just because everybody's not gonna like it, but you gotta respect it. So I think that, you know, for people to say that they, you know, don't agree with it, that's their right. If they don't agree with it, then that's fine. You know what I'm saying? But don't get mad at them or change your opinion of them and say, oh, well, he's a homophobe, but he doesn't like. Nah, that's not, he doesn't agree with that specific topic as far as it's concerned. And I can concur with that 120%. And if you want to try to twist it and say that, you know, you're scared of homo, or, you know, homosexuals, or you're homophobe or whatever, then that helps you sleep at night. Rock out. That's all I can say. Because kind of, you know, it kind of bothers me where you have to, like, speak your opinion, but it can't be in your opinion unless somebody else agrees with it. If their opinion is good in their eyes, then it's okay. When did that start? When did that start saying that I got to worry about what you think about my opinion? I don't care what you think about my opinion. And that's point blank. And it might sound mean and sound crude, but it's the truth. Why should I care about what you think about my opinion? And basically that, man, everybody has a right to their own opinion, love it or leave it. That doesn't take nothing away from the fact that, you know, Adrian Peterson is still one of the top running backs in the NFL. He might not be for gay marriage. So what? That's not his issue, and that's not his point of expertise. But he just saying it from his heart. He doesn't agree with it, and nothing wrong with that. So that's what I'm gonna say on that, and I'm gonna leave that one alone. Shout out to everybody listening, man. Shout out to everybody that, you know, wants to call in 646-200-3838. press 1 to get in on the conversation, man. I can hold it down. It's all good. I got it. I got it covered. Game, get ready to tip off. Game 4 again. You know what I mean? I just think that, again, Miami has to get off to a start where, you know, Indiana's going to play desperate. If Indiana falls, you know, the desperate is going to come in early for Indiana. Because I think that Miami now, they smell blood. You know, they kind of opened it up on Indiana the other night, and they smell blood. And I think that if they get out of here with a 10-15 point win, this series might be over. Yeah, it's all good. Ring the bell. Let's get it popping. All right, what's good, Kia? Welcome to the bigger show. What's happening?
Nothing.
Oh, she's
what's
on that. What's good? What's happening?
Nothing. Looking at these Yankees and trying to figure out, make sure they stay on pace and course until Texas gets here. And hopefully they can stay on course.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe they lost that game. They dropped 2 games out of the 3 to the Orioles. So.
Yeah, they lost last night to the Mets.
Yeah, they lost that game.
They're not in first place no more. So I just like I said, I you know.
I think isn't it tied because they both.
Nah,
20...
the Red Sox are up by a game.
Okay, that's over. They both got 20 losses. That's what I was saying. I know they both got 20 losses.
Like you see how that works? They both got 20 losses, right?
The Red Sox
got 32 wins, so they got two wins better than the Yankees. So that's that's how that goes.
Okay. I know they had 20 losses together.
Yeah, they both got their tied in the loss column.
You see how Tampa Bay is playing ball now?
Tampa Bay, they're playing ball. They're waking up. You know what I mean?
But they got 25. They have 25 losses back there.
And you see who else is trying to come back from the dead on the low? The Angels. They were 12 games under, now they're 5 games under.
That's how, wasn't that how Cleveland was? No more Cleveland was at the bottom of the pack?
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland was at the bottom of the pack in middle part of, at the end part of April.
Right.
And mid part of May. And look how Cleveland fall back.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like basketball. It's like football, but it works kind of different. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It's different,
You know what I'm saying? So, like I said early in the season, I said before the season started, I said the Yankees are finish third. And the reason why I say that is just because you can't really count on Jason Nix,
Overbay
and
Vernon, and
they're tearing it up right now. But when them dog days of July and August come around, you know what I'm saying? And then you know we got to worry about how Teixeira's going to be when he gets back. Granderson just came back and now he's gone again.
He'll be back. He'll be back quick. But the thing about Hafner, Overbay, and those guys, they've been keeping pace with everybody else. That's a good sign. They didn't
Yankees were not
in the slump when they were down in the bottom at Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
These guys was winning, coming back to win games. I mean, I'm looking at CeCe, and CeCe was 4-4 now because the other two starts, he didn't get no decision because they came back to beat those games. So Robinson got those wins. But CeCe, for some reason, cannot get his flow going.
Well, I think with the weather, when the weather gets warmer, hopefully he'll get it together because CeCe's one of them dudes, you know what I mean? And you know, it's not like he doesn't get run support, so that's not an issue. You know what I'm saying? It's just that maybe, you know, when the weather warms up, he'll, you know, that fastball might have a little bit more extra juice on it. You know what I mean? Because they're saying, you know, they're whispering that, you know, his elbow is not really how it's supposed to be. So it's like taking a couple of miles an hour off of his fastball. So I'm thinking maybe once the weather gets a little bit nicer, it clears up here, maybe, you know, he'll start, you know, doing his thing. But yeah.
But he said, CeCe is hard on himself because he said in an interview he should not be pitching his way.
Yeah, getting all that money, you're damn right.
He said there's no way he should be struggling this early in
the
season. And he is struggling, and he said he can't even try. Sometimes can't even. When he gave us them 10 hits, and we weren't even clear in the fourth inning yet. He gave us 10 hits already. That's never known as CeCe giving up 10 hits. Everybody said that's not known for CeCe giving up 10 hits.
No, it's not.
CeCe giving up 10 hits.
His next start is Friday against the Red Sox. Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's pitching against Clay Buchholz, so maybe he might, as the competition intensifies and, his pitching matchup, because Buchholz is 7-0. Buchholz is doing his numbers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
So CC might, hopefully he'll step it up.
Good. You know, the weather's
good,
supposed to be nice, at the stadium Friday night, so it's going down. So, yeah, at 4-4, after 8 starts for CC, his record should be like 6-2.
He should. I got him at losing 2 games still. He don't look good. There's no way he should get hammered like this.
Again, we're a third into the season now. They played 50 games, and hopefully that. What do you think about A-Rod? As far as him coming back, and you think he's going to contribute and do any numbers?
A-Rod's not coming back. I don't think A-Rod's coming back. Probably to the postseason.
No, you don't think A-Rod's going to be? They got to make that roster. They got to have that roster in that postseason roster.
That's what I said. He would be ready for the postseason. I don't think A-Rod is coming back. So I see how they having Texas ready to come back. Got another week. He's ready to come back. He says he's so healthy to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But where is Jeter coming back? Because some of these guys they were talking about, Overbay has never played any outfield position.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even own an outfield glove.
Why would I put Lyle Overbay in outfield?
No. They were talking about when Tex come back.
When Teixeira comes back, they're gonna ease him into the lineup. So Overbay will still have, he'll still if there's like a tough lefty or something like that, or a tough righty, he's
exactly
gonna get his at bat.
That's exactly what they said.
They said the same thing.
They said, well, Teixeira will hit against these pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Overbay will hit
mm-hmm.
against these pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Can Overbay play in outfield position? And a lot of people said they have never seen him play outfield. And when it's asked Overbay, he said he doesn't even own an outfield glove. He has never played outfield. So that was the whole topic of conversation
mm-hmm,
when I was listening
mm-hmm,
to them.
Mm-hmm. But, he's going to be useful because they're going to definitely still need him, But as far, he might not get as many at-bats as he is used to getting, but that was his job anyway. He's just to hold the spot down until Teixeira gets back, I'm looking at his numbers right now. 8 home runs, 28 ribbies. He's hitting decent, .251.
He's playing great ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but Teixeira's coming back.
Yeah.
How does Girardi justify not making him feel like he's not wanting it? You know what I'm saying?
Kia, it's not. I get where you're coming from. But at the end of the day, that's Teixeira's spot.
I know that's your spot, but I'm going to speak for Overbay.
He might have to get him an outfielder glove.
Right.
Or catcher's mitt.
You just said what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing they get back.
Yeah.
Because Overbay wants to play.
He deserves to play. He's doing good.
If you took his stats
right now, you average him out during the year, that's like 24 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
80
mm-hmm.
some odd RBIs. So we could use that. That's a good question. Where do you put him? Does he play, I don't see no platoon because Teixeira's a switch hitter.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to be, they're going to rush him back where he's going to hit from both sides of the plate. That's why I think that, Overbay is still getting, some decent at-bats,
That's what they were talking about when Girardi was saying, but the thing was coming. I was speaking on behalf of Overbay, looking at Overbay. He's been playing great.
Right.
He come back, he's going to be sitting on the bench or, coming in with pinch hitting or whatever.
Yeah.
When you're looking at Overbay, how he's feeling, how you don't want him to get in the slump because he's feeling kind of down.
Mm-hmm.
He's not getting a play, you don't want. So that's what the whole conversation is about.
He said he does it.
He has never played an outfield position.
Yeah, he might want to get him a glove
He might want to get his
best in a glove, But I think that Overbay is having an excellent season.
Having a good season.
Wells, Vernon Wells came back from the dead.
He's having a great season. He's having the heat, and they're playing great comeback baseball. Yeah, he's going to be down one run, and they can come back in the bottom of the ninth, but they hit that home run in the top of the ninth. I mean, it's just unbelievable, these guys, what they call. You got $91 million of Yankees money
in the hospital.
$91 million of Yankees money. You got no name Yankees playing and keeping the Yankees afloat.
I wouldn't say like they know they're good veterans.
No, I'm just saying.
I hear you. I got what you said. They're good veterans, man. They're good veterans, definitely. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you're Brian Cashman, right? Because we had a discussion earlier where, you know, the Yankees are going to get their payroll down to 189 by next season.
Yeah.
So, you know, regardless of how, you know, the season is going right now, which is beautiful, it's a beautiful thing. This team is not going to look the same next year.
No, because of the 189.
They got
to
get it down. They
got to
get it down, and it's crazy. You know, and that's why I was kind of like saying, well, you know, if, you know, they could continue to shock the world, everybody continue to have these good seasons and stuff like that. But my man is still abused. Your man, our man is still abused.
Because they were talking about it, and I agree that sometimes some pitcher, I always look at A.J. Burnett. He didn't pitch nothing good for the Yankees. But when he got to Pittsburgh, he pitched pretty good.
Hold on, I don't mean to cut you off. First couple minutes of the game, Indiana Pacers 9, Miami Heat nothing. Okay. So go ahead, what you said about A.J. Burnett?
I said because, you know, when I was listening to a comment about them talking about pitchers who pitch well in the West Coast, pitchers who pitch better in smaller outfield is much inner instead of out, you know, and they figured that Hughes is a West Coast type of pitcher. This is to talk about Hughes, and if the Yankees going to make a run, will either Hughes be baitable or tradable by the time All-Star after All-Star?
Well, if Philip Hughes has a good, you know, he has to pitch better because, you know, like you said, he's putting himself out there, you know, on display, you know what I'm saying, and it's still the same Philip Hughes. You know what I'm saying? So,
at the end of this year.
Yeah, so I wouldn't miss Philip Hughes if he left. I wouldn't miss him because, you know, we've been going back and forth with this dude for about 3 or 4 years now, waiting for his potential to come through. You know what I'm saying? So, and again, like you were saying about AJ Burnett, I think the deal with AJ was that it was New York. I think that sometimes that New York, you know how we do.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We ain't got no time to be waiting for you to get it together.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're not waiting to cash that check. You know what I'm saying? So we want results right now. And AJ, I just don't know. Every time he pitched, I used to be like, oh man, this dude.
You know?
And he would be getting blocked. He would be getting killed, yo. Like, oh, what's the deal? But like you said, as soon as he went to Pittsburgh, he got out of New York. He went somewhere where, you know, they wouldn't be on him so hard. That's how I looked at it. Where he could pitch comfortable now, because you know every mistake
now that
you make when you pitch in New York is going to be magnified like 1,000%. And if you're not used to that, then you know it's going to show. It's going to definitely show. Definitely.
I think Mariana is having a great, even since last year.
Yeah.
He comes out. And he just commands, whether he is a behind or whatever, in these last couple of saves, he's looking really, really sharp.
Yeah. He was supposed to throw out the first pitch tonight at the next Yankees game.
And this is
throw the first pitch. So I was talking to my man. I was like, yeah, he's throw the first pitch
delay.
And the last pitch. You know what I'm saying?
Rain
but
delay.
Yeah, I mean, Mariano is the dude that, you know, that everybody looks up to and things of that nature. You know why I like Mariano Rivera? Because, you know, he could come in and strike out 3 in a row, you know, get the save, hold it down. He's the same person that if he gave up a game-winning hit. If he blew the save, it's the same thing. He ain't going to run away. Look, I blew the save. It happens. Because I'll tell you a quick story right quick. 2001 World Series, Game 7 in Arizona. I was so mad at Mariano Rivera, but Keith, you know what? I couldn't stay mad at him.
He lost that game.
He threw the ball. He threw. ground ball right back to Mariano. He turned around. I remember it like it was yesterday. He threw it to Derek Jeter. He pulled Jeter off the base, and Jeter actually got hurt. I don't know if you remember that. But Jeter got hurt because he pulled him off the bag with the throw. And then the next thing you know, they had the bases loaded. They had the infield in. Gonzalez hit that little bloop over in the center field, and the Diamondbacks win the World Series. I was mad at Mariano Rivera, but I couldn't stay mad at him. That's how much respect.
Mariano,
you know what I mean?
Mariano is the one player on the Yankees that would be always on the Yankees that you would never stay mad at.
You can't be mad at Mariano Rivera.
So many close games for the Yankees that you can't be mad at him. But that's one of the games that everybody remembers him. And
yeah,
games,
yeah, man, that would have been 98, 99, 2002. That would have been four in a row.
Yeah.
That would have been four in a row, yo. Because we had 98, 99, 2000, right? And 2001 we lost. That was the year when, you know, the World Trade and all that. So it was emotional in the whole nine, but you couldn't be mad. That World Series was great. That 2001 World Series was great.
Seven games.
You know, we lost, but, you know, I give it to Arizona. So what, man? That series was a classic. Classic World Series, man. You know, regardless of what was going on at that time, you know?
I was watching the Tigers and how they're pitching. How their pitching is starting to get a little bit better.
They got some pitching down there too.
They got some good pitching down
there. They got Scherzer. They got the kid Porcello. They got your man Anibal Sanchez. They got some arms.
They got some arms. They're even pitching better than Verlander.
They're
better than Verlander.
But I just think that even going back to last October, man, I think that once Jeter got his broke his ankle in game one. That's when everything went downhill. Because I think if we show up, I'm not scared of Detroit. And I hope Rodney Ziegler heard that. I'm not scared of Detroit Tigers.
I saw Cabrera. You know what? He's having a great year. You take nothing to Cabrera. I love to see him hit. I'm not a Tiger fan, but I love to see him hit. And, of course, I saw him strike out the other night.
You're going to make outs more than you make hits. So,
it just let me know he's human. But, to see Fielder come right behind him. And, they got a great squad. So, I don't think that's the fun. But, no.
They got a bunch of hitters on their team.
Oh, yeah.
So, Cabrera's – I wasn't going to ask about this. I was going to wait a couple weeks to ask. But is Miguel Cabrera on your all-star team? Is he starting at third base?
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna get into that in a couple of weeks. I'm going to wait a couple weeks before I get into my all-star ballot.
I think he would. You would definitely need him on the all-star for the American League. You definitely need
that. You got to play to win this year. You got to play to win.
You don't think about nothing else. You think about his dad.
You got to win that all-star game.
You're a great third baseman. You don't worry about that. But you need Cabrera's bat.
If I had to pick a team right now, American League, Jesus Christ, I hate putting myself in positions like this. But if I had to pick a team right now, just off the top of my head, first base for American League, I'd probably pick. I'd probably have to pick Prince.
Yeah.
I would probably have to pick Prince because I know Justin Morneau. He's Albert Pujols ain't even on the on the radar. Albert Pujols is not on the radar.
No, his ERA is getting up. It's up now because he's coming right behind Cabrera. So they got just a 1-2 punch right there.
So
and
who would
you have for the catcher
for the American League?
Yeah,
that's a no-brainer. I would have Matt Wieters from Baltimore Orioles.
You don't think what's they for the Twins?
Oh, Joe Mauer? Nah, Joe Mauer fell off.
I don't think that much.
Matt Wieters took his spot, yo.
Yeah, but not that much. He didn't fall off that much. I'm laughing because he blow that Tigers was having, and he busted right up.
he did. That's what
I'm
do.
I'm just saying, you think he would get you would pick him over the Orioles? Then
look at Matt Wieters' numbers. Look at Matt Wieters' numbers.
His numbers are better. I see his numbers.
I would pick Wieters, and then I would pick Mauer, because I have to take two catches. So I would pick Wieters and Mauer.
Because I pick Mauer first, then I would pick, because I would think, because he can hurt you in different ways. Mm-hmm. So like even though they was, you know, he cleaned them out until that time DeMar came back and just like broke up his perfect game.
Right.
You know.
Right. So who would you put like right now at the top of your head in the National League outfield? This is gonna be a crazy one. I can't wait to hear this. The National League right now, top of your head.
I don't know. It's so very. I like what's the name out there for the Nationals?
With Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I kind of like Harper. I mean, even though he's not doing what he did last year.
He's not doing what he did last year.
He's way off from last year.
Yeah,
but do you not contend him to be in that spot?
If I had to pick, if it was me, but I was waiting for you to pick yours first, then I was going to pick mine. So you got Bryce Harper and who else? You got two more spots.
What's the name for the Rockies?
Oh, Carlos Gonzalez?
Yep.
Okay, so you got Harper,
like
Gonzalez.
And I don't know why I like Gonzalez, because I like this when his stance at the pitch.
Yeah,
he's
like his bad stance.
Right.
I ain't mad at that.
No, I'm just saying when he gets his prizes, it's something about CC, it's something about Fielders and Cabreras and Cano. You ever see Cano? He's just patient, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he did mess up last night in that game, but you know.
All right, so you got one more spot.
What was he gonna go with?
You said Harper. You said Gonzalez.
Did I say Kemp? No, Kemp is
Kemp
playing?
Kemp is number. He's all right. You know what I mean? Everybody's kind of all right now. Nobody really flipping. Like, since Justin Upton hit 12 home runs in April, he fell off. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
I was going to pick Upton, but he's dated. Upton could have good games. Upton could have bad games. But he's okay, but...
The reason why I asked you about the National League, once again, hold on, 646-200-3838, press 1 to get in on the conversation. Shout out to everybody that's listening to the show tonight, man. You know what I mean? If you want to get in on the conversation, just press 1, man. We got you. The reason why I asked you about the National League outfield, because it's crazy. Like, you mentioned Bryce Harper. You know what I mean? We got the Upton brothers in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Can't forget about Jason Hayward. Can't forget about Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
Can't forget about Matt Holliday. Can't forget about, like you said, your man Kemp. Can't forget about Giancarlo Stanton in Miami.
No, I like
Can't
I like
forget
Holliday.
About him.
I'll put Holliday before I put, what's his name? But, yeah, I like Holliday.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's crazy with the, you know what I mean? So that's why I said I'm going to wait till about June 15th. We're going to have an all-star ballot. We're going to fill out our all-star ballots and all that stuff like that. But, I mean, it's not a popularity contest no more. Like you said, you got to play to win now. So all that,
yes,
you know, Cal Ripken went to the all-star
that,
game 15 years in a row. That's dead. That's dead because they got to win now. You know?
It's all about winning. You got to put the guys that's out there, even though they're struggling in the regular season now. There may be a difference in that all-star. So
yeah, because,
win.
You know, you're
going to win.
You playing to win, so you might need
who's
that dude.
Who's starting pitcher for
the American League? Starting pitcher, you Darvish, Texas Rangers all day.
Really,
you Darvish? That's my man. I like Yu Darvish. I liked him when he came in the league. That was my man to watch last year when he first came into the league with Texas. I like Yu Darvish. Cause they're all, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because when they had him coming into the airport when he first was touching down, you know, coming over here, or whatever. He had on this big, you know, Mary Jane T-shirt. I loved it. I said, that's my man. From here on, that's my dude, Yu Darvish, and he can pitch. He can really pitch.
He had
14 strikeouts the other night.
I want to see who you would have for your starting pitcher.
Yeah, I would have Yu Darvish in the American League, and for the National League. I like the kid from the Mets. I like Matt Harvey.
No, I don't like that.
I like what's my homie from the Dodgers? Not Greinke, the other cat. Clayton Kershaw. I like Clayton Kershaw from the Dodgers.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
What about
go ahead. You know who I would put on my ballot just on GP who's having a great year? Your man from the Cincinnati Reds, Sin Shu Chu, the leadoff hitter for the Reds. He's killing it. He used to play for the Indians. And, you know, he went to Cincinnati or whatever. He's still doing his numbers. So, yeah, I mean, him, you know, he would get some burn. Andrew McCutchen, he's another outfielder in the National League. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He would get some burn.
Yeah,
so it's hard. So I'm not going to vote on my ballot cats that, you know, just because of name recognition, just because I know their name, I'll just stick them on the All-Star ballot. It don't go like that no more. If they can't help you win, they're not going to play.
A lot of them having bad, they having seasons that they do. Because I didn't think Trout was having a season like he having.
Mike Trout.
These guys was pounding last year, and it's like this is like nothing.
Yeah, because you know what? You know, you had the whole off season to kind of look at tape and study these guys. You didn't get a chance to, you know, do that when they first came into the league. So you didn't know, you know, what they were vulnerable to, if they could hit certain pitches or, you know, how they were or whatever. But you know who's having a good year still from last year? Manny Machado. That's why I was asking you about third base for the American League, because I would put Manny Machado at third base. He's the new A-Rod.
That kid is
ridiculous.
Well, he can get up there and strike out this whole time. He can get up there, but you definitely want Cabrera bat in there.
Yeah. If it's a big spot, I gotta have Cabrera. So if I got Cabrera starting, and let's see who's gonna pitch for the National League. Let's just throw a name out there. Adam Wainwright from the Cardinals.
What's that in the Rockies? Oh God, I just wanted to pitch the other night.
Oh. For Colorado.
Yeah,
not Jimenez. Not Jimenez. I know. Chachin or whatever his name is.
I'm trying to think of
pitchers for Colorado. Starting pitchers, right?
Yeah.
You gotta be either Chachin or I don't know if it's De La Rosa. Was he lefty or righty? If you remember.
The lefty.
It's gotta be De La Rosa. Gotta be De La Rosa.
Well,
hold on, we gotta call on the line. 1 second. Prime Time. Wow, I like that. What's going down? Welcome to the bigger show. Prime Time is in the building. What's good?
Peace. What's going on?
Peace.
Just sitting here as I'm doing my own internet broadcast, watching Indiana and Miami Heat game. I'm thinking that Miami, especially LeBron James, really broke the will and the resolve of the Pacers last night, man. I don't know, man. If they don't get this one, I think it's curtains.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, I think that, you know, the first two games of the series kind of like went status quo. They were close. They were down to the last minute, you know, but game three, Miami kind of opened it up on them, you know, people were saying, well, Indiana's undefeated in the postseason at home. Miami's undefeated on the road in the postseason, blah, blah, blah. And Miami just kind of like showed who was the boss. That's all. They opened it up on them. You know, it was a no-doubter. And I think that Miami has kind of like, did they put the thought in Indiana's head that this series is over? We'll find out tonight.
If
Indiana could somehow win and win nice, then it's the best two out of three. Then all bets, it's the best two out of three then.
I don't know, man. The dude,
I don't know
Vogel,
either.
He don't seem to think on his feet, Frank Vogel, man. When LeBron was isolating on Paul George, no double teams was coming, man. You give this guy 5-6 dribbles in the post, it's a wrap.
Yeah, and then you see in game one how, you know, people were talking about how, you know, Hibbert was on the bench and things of that nature. George let LeBron James go right around him. So if he would have kind of like, you know, faced him up a little bit, if he would have faced him up,
slowed down one time
and cut that path to the, he had clean path to the basket. So how are you going to stop that?
If I was Indiana,
I would at least still try to foul him. Catch the flagrant, so be it. Don't give him no layups in the playoffs. Ain't that the rule? There's no layups in the playoffs. I'd have bumped him or something, put him on the line. Make him win it from the line.
I agree. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If Roy Hibbert is in there, maybe he hesitates
for a couple milliseconds,
the clock runs out, you know.
Hold on for 1 second, Prime Time. We're blowing up. We got Ziggy in the building. Ziggy, what's good, man? Welcome to the bigger show, man.
What's going on?
Yo, thanks for having me, y'all. I got to go. I'm in the middle of my own broadcast. Peace.
Prime, anytime, Tuesday nights, it goes down. Thanks for calling, my brother.
Peace.
Salute.
Speaking of this game, Miami just took that first bluff, that first punch.
Yeah, it was 9-0 early. Now the game is a little bit closer now. What's your opinion on it, Zig?
I'm saying, hey, you put LeBron down in the post and let him dribble two or three times, hey, can't nobody stop him.
Right.
You just sit there and let him, you sit down there and let him pitch a tent down there with, instead of bringing the double team, because I think Frank Vogel, the head coach from Indiana, his ego got him the last game. He didn't want to bring no double team. He felt like we're Indiana.
That
we don't need
man
no
up. Yeah, well, LeBron just caught a tech. Yeah, stop the presses. LeBron got a technical foul. I can't believe it. But they got the homie's refereeing tonight, so he ain't taking no junk. So, 17-17, 2:48 left in the first quarter in Indiana. Game four, Eastern Conference Finals. 17-17. 646-200-3838 is the master call, man. Press 1 if you want to get in the conversation. I got the homie Ziggy in the building. I just got off the line with my man Prime Time. First time calling, all that. I got Key in the building as usual. So, Ziggy, what's good with your Detroit Red Wings, man?
I don't know. But I know when after that penalty shot.
I had to call one of my real hockey expert dudes to be like, well, what was the deal with that? He's like, well, he didn't know what the deal was with the other situation when I think it was Jimmy Howard. Was it Jimmy Howard cleaned the puck behind him and
the ref took that whole game over last night.
Yeah, the referees and we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago about the referees, right?
Yep.
Now it's been gravitated over to hockey.
Hockey
wasn't in the conversation before.
On that penalty shot, they were standing in the crease.
Mm-hmm.
How he got to that penalty shot, they were standing in the crease, and he was like elbow. He was taking his stick and he was poking at Howard, as you know, while he was standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
he ended up getting the penalty. So I don't understand that. So
I don't understand it either. But hopefully, man, you know, it's a good game. I want to see a good game. And that was my whole argument, man. Why does it have to depend on a call from a referee who really, you know, like you said, we should debate in a call. We should never debate a call, yo. Because, like, when you go to – and I was having this conversation with somebody earlier. When you go to court, the judge is the be-all, and the judge should never make a mistake. You know what I'm saying? So the same situation should apply to sports. You have your judges and your arbiters, your referees, your umpires, your officials. They should be above reproach. It should be no. When did the human error, when did that come into the game? You know what I'm saying? And that's just how I feel about it, my dude. Because and if people say, well, you know, it's always, you know, have to give that little percent for a human element. So that means if I come to the game, right, and I'm playing my heart out and I'm playing to win and I know I did what I'm supposed to do, and then the referees are gonna call a BS call on me, that's what I gotta worry about. If he got him some last night. Or if he got, you know, a parking ticket or whatever that's going on in his life, he going to make a bad call because his judgment was messed up? That ain't cool to me. I don't understand that.
Well, at least baseball is suspending their umpires and their refs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm, they do. Yeah, that's
right. They do. Everybody else needs to follow suit on that.
Yeah. I think that it takes some kind of plan to put the onus on the officials, too, to get the calls right. Because, like, you know, like in the NFL, you know, they had that point system with the referees that, you know, the ones who get the playoff, the postseason assignments and all that. If you want to make messed up calls in week 3, week 4, week 5, that's okay. Because when the postseason comes and you don't get that assignment, that ain't my fault.
Well,
you know what I mean? And you got referees that don't get graded well, and they don't get those postseason assignments. That's how they do it in the NFL.
And this may sound like standing them up, but don't they have other referees that's as far as in the union in football that, you know, that is, that's not regular referees. But say if like a referee make a bad call like the Seattle Green Bay, the umpire that was standing right in the end zone. Just having to have like a substitute referee for the next week, you know. If a referee start missing games and not getting paid for it,
that's going to affect them. Because they're not full time refs. They do that during the season. They have regular jobs.
That's what makes it even
Ooh,
more.
Ooh, that was the homie Lance Stevenson just bumped LeBron out the building, and then LeBron gonna try to come back hard body karate. I don't know, man. I don't know. Indiana must have went to go see the Wizard. Lance Stevenson is on something tonight,
LeBron,
man.
Hey, look at LeBron. LeBron is not about to let them just hold him up.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game.
You see what he just did, right?
It's
gonna, you see what he just did, right?
Brooklyn in the building. Hard body karate. Get out the way, son.
You see LeBron, what LeBron just did, right?
Huh?
He's going to come back at him.
Yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. But I think that he's the person that to me has made the most impressed me the most during, you know, this little run that they make it right now. Lance Stevenson, okay, he does, you know, crazy stuff on the court where he's feeling himself. But if he's playing within the game, he's a beast. But so when he starts feeling himself, it's over. He's like J.R. Smith. But J.R. Smith is shooting, and then once, you know, he might hit three or four in a row, then he's going to shoot five or six or seven. Now, let's look at this. Lance just got ripped. See? Lance just got ripped. Bomb.
So what about those turnovers? Great turnovers
about
Lance.
He just gave it up.
He just got ripped. I just started Sunday. He just got
gave
ripped.
It up.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever, you know, you take the good
like
with the bad,
him.
The bitter with the sweet with him.
That's what I don't like about him. I don't like
that
about him.
Yeah, well, that's the new NBA right there, yo.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
So Brad Richards, the Rangers.
Yeah, he didn't show up at all. He don't need to be there next year. I didn't like him or Rick Nash.
I'm telling
both
you right
of
now,
them need to get out of here.
It's going to be something interesting because he sat Brad Richards for both games.
Yeah.
He sat
healthy scratch. He was a healthy scratch.
It was, yep.
Yeah.
A lot of Rangers fans are not happy with the last when he sat him the last. And the only reason they won that one because Richards didn't play. But the second time when he sat Richards and they lost Rangers, it didn't sit right with Rangers fans.
Listen. You can get rid of Brad Richards. You can get rid of Rick Nash. Tortorella ain't going nowhere.
Yeah,
Tortorella's like almost my favorite coach in the city right now. Because Tortorella will cuss you out with the quickness.
You heard what he told him.
Did you hear what he told him?
Heard what he told him.
Tortorella, no, he ain't no joke. That's my man. Tortorella's like, yo, if you don't like it.
I'm still laughing when I heard that.
You know,
he said, kiss my ass.
Yep. He said, you don't like it? You don't like it?
Kiss my ass.
But that's him. And you got to respect that. I ain't mad at Coach Tortorella, man. I ain't mad at him. He reminds me of back in the days of Billy Martin. A little bit before your time, but Billy Martin and George Steinbrenner used to go through.
Earl Weaver, Billy Martin.
George Steinbrenner would fire Billy Martin every week. He'd be like, old time is day, Billy Martin coming back. Then he'd fire him, have all that 11 o'clock news, crying. I remember this from when I was little, crying because he got fired and all this. And the next day, George Steinbrenner, I was mad at him.
Remember when baseball used to come on Monday nights?
Yes, sir.
I remember when the Baltimore Orioles used to be that deal back in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And Earl Weaver used to come out to the he used to come out and pick up the base, walk up to the umpire, start kicking dirt on him.
Yo, Earl Weaver,
whatever
happened to that? You know what I mean? The Earl Weavers and the Billy Martins and you know what I mean? Those guys that would get at the umpires like, what are you? They couldn't be managers today, because I think Earl Weaver or Billy Martin would slap the hell out of somebody. Real talk. Like, what's the matter with you? And they would come out of the dugout like, what's on your mind? And they would get up in the umpire's face like, what's good? You know, and they would try to turn into a screaming match. He'd kick dirt on him, kick all his dirt on him. Oh, I used to love Billy Martin when he did that, yo. Love him.
Pull his pants down.
But yeah, so what do you think tomorrow night's going to look like, man?
I'm scared. I didn't want to go back to Chicago. I really didn't.
What do you think about the game tonight? What do you think about the game tonight with the Sharks and the Kings?
I'm just worried about my team right now.
You're just worried about the Red Wings, man.
Yeah.
I think the Red Wings had a great season, man. You know what I mean?
It's definitely not over.
It's definitely not over. They still got 3 periods to play.
We shouldn't be in this position, though.
Yeah. Z, man, what I always say when it comes to the postseason, my dude, regardless of what sport it is, regardless of who you put, that last one is always the hardest one to get. that last one is the hardest one to get because the team that's behind don't got nothing to lose.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Unless you just do like the Grizzlies and just don't show up and don't care. Unless you just don't, you know what I mean?
Make no sense.
You know what, though?
Make no sense about that.
You can't get swept on your home court.
But see, I think with that series is,
mm-hmm.
the Grizzlies, they had to, now, mind you, despite them getting swept, they had two games that they had for the takings.
Yes.
That was overtime. You know what I'm saying?
They yep, and that's what their experience comes to that. Yeah, you're right.
They could have just made the plays. They just didn't
right.
make the plays
the play.
When they needed to be made.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
50-50 balls with
mm-hmm.
the San Antonio. The basketball guys
mm-hmm.
looking down on the old man.
Yeah.
So.
You know.
They ain't got nothing to do. You know what they're going to do? Tayshaun Prince is going to be gone. They're going to restructure that whole team for next season, for getting ready for this season coming up in November. That team is going to be, because there's no way when you have the best backcourt through all the NBA, you know, and didn't allow in 77 games, didn't allow 100 points, and we can't
yeah.
play off, and you cannot win.
Got a good front line,
game,
too, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
And they're going to shift. Memphis is going to be shifted and shifted around Gasol and Zebo. That's the point.
Yeah,
like, everybody
exactly.
else is going to be,
mm-hmm.
Everybody else is going to be gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
go.
No doubt.
Because there's no way the best backcourt that they didn't allow not 100 points from 77 games, not 100 points, and they get like this and they can play off. No way.
Right.
No way.
Well, I mean, you know, Memphis is one of those teams that, you know, people were expecting them to get over the hump, but when they don't, it's like, see, this is what we thought you were. You know what I'm saying? And again, so now, how do you get stronger? You got the, you know, defensive player of the year on your team, Marc Gasol.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you got Zach Randolph, who came back. He's playing for, you know, he's playing now. You know what I'm saying? Well, I wish he played like this when he was with the Knicks.
That's
what Knicks fan said. I wish he played like that when he was with
the Knicks. That's
what Knicks fan
said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Zebo needs a right hand. Zebo
yeah,
needs to work
true.
On his right hand. That's this summer
okay.
he needs to do that.
Yeah, you're right.
Let me ask you.
I'm like this. If you're a veteran and you have shortcomings and flaws, you need to work on your game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's just the way I.
Yeah,
that's
right,
the way I.
Right.
That's the way I feel
you.
About things.
Yes, sir.
You need to work on your game. So, after two or three years, you're stealing money.
Right. that's how they should put it. You're stealing money. I think that's gonna be a topic for, like, you know, for the shout out to Sports Room Group and all that. Who's stealing money?
Dwight.
You know who's stealing money.
Dwight.
Word is bond. Real talk. You know who's stealing. That's beautiful. I like that.
Dwight
who's
Howard
stealing
money?
Money.
Dwight Howard
Dwight
is stealing money.
How is Dwight Howard stealing money when he didn't get that much? He didn't get
that
much.
He bombed it a lot.
I came up in a time. You don't quit on your team. You just don't quit. I don't care.
One at a time. One at a time. Yo, respect the caller.
Okay. Dwight Howard stealing money. He didn't even get a real contract yet. Dwight Howard stealing money. After this year, if he ain't playing, yeah, Dwight Howard stealing money. If you tell who's stealing money, you need to tell some other team that's stealing money, but the White House stealing money.
Yeah, we know a lot of people know.
We just saying, like.
That ain't even make sense. I can say he had a
well-earned
contract for 1 year, and now he can go
wherever
he wants to go.
For what
White House
he's trying
money.
To do.
Come on,
he's not working no 9-to-5. For what he's trying to do, he's stealing money because he still have not got him an office. He still ain't got an office today.
The reason I think what Z is getting to is that, yeah, you're this big dude, okay? You didn't come play for the Lakers. You didn't play for the Lakers for free.
This is what I'm saying. He's not the number one guy stealing money on a 1 year contract.
Oh, no. Nobody's saying that.
I'm not saying that. He's stealing money.
All these other guys, you got many 15 guys in front of him that stole money. You got guys like, you could say a lot of guys that stole money from better than him.
Okay.
One of them Clippers guys, go to Ibaka. That kind 45, Ibaka can't do nothing.
I can make a list. It just so happened he was the first one.
I think Amari Stoudemire stole money.
He stole money. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You better name some guys that stole money, deep money.
He's still stealing money.
That's some deep money.
Yeah. Amari Stoudemire stealing money.
Oh yeah, come on, they stealing money. You know, and basically, I think that the how we want to define that Z and Kia is that like who didn't play up to their potential, who didn't play up to their contract. If you don't play up to your contract, now you're stealing money.
He has a longer deal than right now. I mean, I don't know how we're going to get after this year. We don't know. I mean, to the next season, what happens? Mm-hmm. We only had that 1 year. But Ibaka got $45 million.
When the season came up, Ibaka, who knew Ibaka? The spotlight wouldn't have been on Ibaka like that if Westbrook wouldn't have got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Then the spotlight came on Ibaka because Durant had to end up doing everything. He started bringing the ball up.
Kevin Martin didn't really do his numbers like he's supposed
Kevin
to.
Martin
so, yeah,
didn't
I
do
got you.
So Ibaka will stick out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, Ibaka is who he is. He's a number three. He's a number three. That's period.
Is Kendrick Perkins stealing money with that mask he got on?
I'm sorry.
He's a waste of energy down there. 646-200-3838 is the math to call, man. Thanks to all the listeners, man. If you want to jump in the conversation, just press 1.
Is Kenyon Perkins Robert Parrish's father?
Is Kendrick Perkins Robert Parrish's father? I thought Kendrick Perkins was Robert Parrish's son.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know the reason why the expression on their face.
You see how they be looking? They always got sour milk in their mouth. It's always got the screw face. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he always got some bad news going on in his head. Like, he got his, you know what I mean?
Like,
he's never seen a smile.
He was a waste down there. And I wonder if he's going to say, okay, sir, that's going to be very interesting.
Who, Kendrick Perkins?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But he was good for what they were trying to do at that time.
Yeah.
Okay. When they made that trade, OKC was trying to get on the map. That's all they wanted.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't get on the map. And they didn't do nothing with Perkins in two seasons. Perkins ain't do nothing in this series. I wonder if she's going to be interested if Perkins stays with OKC. It's going to be very interesting. Very interesting. If he stays down there. So it was like a no. And then the fact that I was thinking about the Timberwolves with Kevin Love coming back and them, you know, and Rubio and that squad.
That's my dude, Ricky Rubio.
I can't.
I think he's better than a lot of guards that's in the league.
He is better than a lot of guards.
He is. When I had a conversation with somebody, Kia, about Ricky Rubio, they wanted to argue me down.
I like Ricky Rubio.
Have you ever watched Ricky Rubio play?
Ricky
Rubio?
Oh,
Ricky Rubio is nice.
Because Minnesota don't get the coverage.
I love how he come up the court. Him and Kevin Love get back. It's going to be very interesting with that Bulls team.
We got a call on the line. Hold on 1 second. We got a call on the line. Okay. Hold on 1 second. We got my dude on the line. Balance Warriors is in the building. Sal, what's good, family?
Welcome to the bigger show, man.
First time and all that.
Yes, sir.
Doing this
energy.
What's going on, man?
Nothing, man. Just got done a workout, man. And me and the daughter was watching a little Chinese Connection. You know, I got on Bruce Lee a little bit.
No doubt. That's what it is. But I think that you called right now would be a perfect segue to what we are talking about. We're talking about as far as basketball, but I think we want to address a little something about, you know, cats and how they dress for the, you know, after the, you know, the press conferences and how they present themselves and things of that nature. So kind of like explain, you know, who you are and what you want in regards to gentlemen, you know, presenting themselves in a gentlemanly way. So I'm gonna let you out of the floor.
Okay. Well, first I'd like to just make a comment make a statement in regards to the comment that I really appreciated when you said that the brother didn't live up to his obligation as far as the contract is concerned. He didn't fulfill his obligation.
Right.
So that in essence was theft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a strong point and strong principle. And, you know, them the kind of principles that I really admire and I really live by, that type of mindset and that thought process.
Okay.
That was pretty serious. My name is Solomon Dinkins, and I'm CEO of Balanced Warrior Enterprises and also Earnest Expectations International. Pretty much a conglomerate of, we do sports nutrition and vitamin supplements and beauty care and that kind of thing. But then I also took it to another level as far as gentlemen's attire, ties, bow ties, ascots, you know, custom clothing and the whole nine.
Right.
So, you know, that's my thing to try to...
No, I was going to say, I know you have an opinion on me. I don't know if you even kind of like, you know, peep it or whatever. I know you have an opinion about how these cats be dressing at these, you know, these press conferences after the games, or even how they come into the arenas with the capri pants and the craziness. So, I know you had an opinion about that.
Okay. Well, actually, I really don't get, because, you know, I'm not a real sports guy.
Right.
I'm an athlete. I do my own little individual working out and things like that, and I follow a little boxing. But as far as keeping up with the sports and the trends and, you know what I mean, I'm not really, up to date with what's happening. But what I did catch that was what was monumental to me is the fact that they did make, and I don't even know if they obviously something done went awry or whatever, but I know they did start making those guys dress formally to press conferences or when they're doing interviews and things of that nature. And I don't know if they still do that. Obviously, something else happened.
Well, I mean, I think that how it started, where, you know, they kind of like cut down on the, you know, the jewelry and the, you know, the sweatsuits and all the, you know, attire on the sideline. But I think some of the cats took it to a level where, you know, they could, you know, they, you know, dress how they wanted to after the game, you know, because I think it started off with, you know, certain cats wearing certain things as fashion trends and fashion statements and stuff. But some of that stuff just be like, okay, it's like, where are you going? What are you trying? What message are you putting out there?
Hell, look at Robin.
Huh?
Robin was doing it that opened everybody eyes. Dresses. Yeah. Nick Freeze, he went to dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the and then I'm like, Mike, hey, if he want to wear that, long as he rebound, I don't care what he wear.
I hear you, but as far as, you know, a certain attire, as far as like an athlete, you know, you're in a certain, you know, you have to have a certain respect, you know, wanting to be given to you, and you want to exude a certain respect and a certain confidence.
Exactly.
So do you think that this generation or the, you know, younger cats, do you think they have a grasp on that, or do they have an understanding on, you know, being presentable?
Well, you have an upcoming contingent of people that's definitely getting it, you know what I mean? But within sports, like any other activity, you know, dressing and being formal and being, you know, up to par and that type of thing, that's not everybody's hot button, and I do, I do understand that. That's one of the reasons why I can't. What hit me with Balance Warrior Enterprise, because the fact that, you know, you got guys that are athletes that can't dress, and then you got a lot of guys that can dress that's not in shape.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not everybody's hot button. You know what I mean? But my particular thing is to touch them individuals that are fit, that are interested in being fit, that are interested in being balanced, and also looking sharp.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm talking about, because this, you know, you'd be surprised how many men, like, for instance, I did a big event in out there around my way in Trenton. It wasn't in Trenton. It was like Lawrenceville. It was a Kappa event. Man, I taught one old guy to tie a bow tie, and while I was teaching him, about 15 older men surrounded me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm literally teaching 15 older graduates, Kappas, how to tie bow ties. Now, the first thing I'm thinking is, do you realize how many men, young men, that you were not able to pour in to because you couldn't teach? That's a tool. It's a tool to pour into people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Especially youngsters at a young age. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, it's certain things become trendy and that kind of thing. And I just thank God that this is kind of a trend.
Right.
But it, you know what I mean? Because it's taking cats back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then when you got people like myself that got love for that, how we get into the fashion. I started rocking boutonnieres now. You know what I mean? You know, it's the whole
thing. That's what it is.
Yeah, man. And then the science behind that is, first of all, see, I study. This thing is academic. You got to learn this stuff. And like I said, it's not everybody's hot button. They all right with jeans, and I'm not mad at them. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to do what I do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And one of the things I found out about, like, say, for instance, when you rocking the boutonniere, first thing you need to know is why you doing it. Why are you rocking the boutonniere? And my thing is that I come presenting a gift. So that flower I have on my side is my indicator that I'm coming with a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming with something. I'm offering.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's intentional. But that's my thing. You
right
know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Got you.
Yeah.
So how do we you know impart that knowledge and wisdom to, you know, to the cats that, you know, that's really, you know, that's coming up now, when we get them to get that, you know, you could be fly off the court, but there's a way to go about it where you don't have, you know, not getting, like, you know, unusual stares or whatever, you know what I mean?
Do you
in the context of, you know, I don't know if normalcy is the right word, but I'll say that.
It's definitely a message that needs to be carried out from them guys. You know what I mean? The guys that have the money, the guys that have that influence, the guys that it is aimed towards, you know what I'm saying? Because they need to understand that there are people that you're affecting, and they affect people just by your ways and actions. A lot of people don't realize
right
it. Nah, I might not have been the dude to put the package in Sun Sun's hand, but guess what? If Sun Sun admiring me and I'm across the fence, I'm doing this, that, and the other thing, I'm literally teaching him how to do
right. Because he's definitely watching you. He's paying attention. That's right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to send a message, you know what I mean? And the thing is to get these, well, I don't know. I really believe that when you get a certain period and a certain mindset, you get stuck.
Mm.
If you're not becoming a progressive, and it's quiet and it's silent, but anything that's not moving, it starts to crystallize.
Stagnant, right. Mm-hmm.
And so no movement really takes place. And then what happens is you get a sense of comfortability in that place, and you start making excuses for being in that place.
Right. You're thinking something's wrong with everybody else.
Exactly.
Right,
then
okay.
Then comes the projection.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
It's them. It's not me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, you still the dude with the money that affecting the lives of these people.
Right.
The young brothers and sisters, especially.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's easy for me to say my brothers and, you know, our people and that kind of thing. But, man, this thing is, first of all, get out of that, because this thing is universal.
Mm.
This is a universal message. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who you really represent?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I represent my Lord Savior Jesus Christ, man. That's my thing. But everybody got their own little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people's thing is just to represent themselves.
Mm.
So that's self-worship, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's self-worship.
So like, that's what we're saying, like, we're going that way in regards to, like, kind of like, nobody is, like, really stands alone as far as, you know, how they present themselves at these press conferences. Because to me, the first thing to me that I noticed, and it had to be like maybe 10, 12 years ago, was when they started bringing their kids to the press conference. Nothing wrong with that. I think that's what it just started with. You just doing yourself, you know, getting your kids some shine or whatever the case. They had their little kids up on the podium with them. That's cool. There wasn't no, you know, dress code, and nobody had to put on their suits or whatever. But now I think that the attention is taking off of that, and now you're worrying about what they having on as soon as they come into the arena. Oh, he got on his capri pants. He got on the paisley shirts and the things of that nature. And I'm saying to you, as men of a certain age,
right?
And we're watching this go on.
Can we
relate to this, or is this like something that is beyond our understanding? Or are they doing it wrong? Or do they, you know what I mean? Do they need to be taught? Or
it's got to be the industry and not keeping mandates. It's the industry.
Right.
And don't forget, we're still targeted. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Still targeted for buffoonery. Okay? If you know, we already dominating the sports industry and things of that
as
nature.
As it is,
so
right.
What other better way than allow an individual that want to be a buffoon, allow him to be a buffoon?
Mm.
Or allow him to just, I mean, because you know, don't get me wrong, I dig fashion, but fashion and gentleman's attire are two different things.
Okay.
You know, because
elaborate on that right quick.
Okay, fashion is where you got rules and you defy rules. You know what I mean? And you might come up with anything that's a fashion statement, and it can catch. It can become trendy. But then when you're talking about gentleman's attire, there are restrictions. There are certain things that you just, man, no, I found it out. But it was certain things that I just didn't do. You know what I'm saying? And everybody got their little line. So when you look at the gentleman's attire and you look at fashion, man, can be so bizarre and extreme and retarded and not so much nonsense.
That's right. You're right.
And it can really take off by doing that. You can look, man, look at Kyle. Most of them dudes is buffoons, man.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? I'm not.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I got it. I think that, you know, to me, this is just my opinion. Kind of like last year, the trend was the frames with no lenses in them. Everybody was wearing those frames.
You see?
Then try to extend to, you know, now your whole outfit has to be crazy. Now the capri pants, I don't know where that came from.
Right.
So when you're looking at this, you're saying these are men that, you know, they have fathers, they have grandfathers, they have, you know, the role models and things of that nature. But they, you know, I guess they say they're their own individual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to dress like my father dressed. I'm going to dress, you know, the way it, which is you know, comfortable for me and my, you know, in my peer group. Okay, I'm not going to dress like my father did or my grandfather did, but. Again, it goes back to, like you said, fashion and making a statement is two different things.
Right.
So
right.
are you trying to set a fashion trend, or are you just trying to get up there and just have people talk about you?
Well,
positive or negative. All publicity is good publicity. All publicity is good. If they're talking about you, then you did it right. So, I as a person, man, I'm so glad, man. I hope this is not the first time you call. Call as often as you want. In regards to trying to get this together, where we have to kind of like shift the tide a little bit. You know what I mean?
One of the things that I do know, and because, you know, I'm a certain way I dress. You know what I'm saying? And there are certain fashions that are ethnic. They're ethnic based.
Right.
Now, if you look at how the Muslim brothers wear their pants might be a couple quarters up, you know what I'm saying? That might have that capri look or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, with my pants, I take my pants because I don't wear shorts, you know what I'm saying? So summertime, I'm cutting mine, you know, I got a little capri look, but it's a little longer than that, but I'm doing the cargo pants. That's how I'm doing my thing. You know, it's straight masculine how I'm doing my thing, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of those different styles are, you know, once again, some of them are cultural, but then one thing I noticed, and this is my whole thing about balance, people can take a perfectly good fashion statement and make it buffoonery. You know what I'm saying? And in a lot of senses, this is what's happening. And the truth be told, if cats ain't really in the fashion, they not going to know when there's a buffoonish fashion statement come along. Like, I'm just getting hit to the fact that when you rock a tie, your pocket square is not supposed to match.
Well, it's not supposed to match.
It's not supposed to match. When a cat got a matching bolt, a matching tie in a pocket square, you can tell he don't know something.
Okay.
About that. Now, watch this. I just found that out myself. I did my thing with matching ascots and bow ties. I keep saying bow ties. But that's the hot button. But I did my thing with the pocket square matching everything. And now I'm like, once I read what I read, now when you get, once again, it's academic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That always has something to do with it.
Yeah, when you study it, you start to find out, oh, nah, man, in fashion, in gentleman's attire, you accent. See, and what it was that matching stuff came because the Joker didn't know how to put it together.
So they
took a simple route.
Well, I
keep it simple for everybody. You know what I mean? Like fast food, I keep it simple for you.
Right.
But once again, then you could tell a cat ain't got a certain skill when he's doing it like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, so it's a lot of, you know, people ain't really, a lot of guys not really in, they, you know, and cats is weird, too, now, you know what I mean? They own something else when it comes, you know, when all that money and all these different social events and social sites they dealing with, man.
People right.
People is on something else, man, you know what I mean? They,
yeah.
You know. I don't even want to get into all that, man.
I hear you. I hear you. That's another conversation altogether,
yeah,
no doubt.
Another one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is, cats in the industry and those that are really role models, they need to understand that they are role models. Now
right.
They might not, but for real, they might not really accept that call. That might be something. See, a lot of times we put these titles on them guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can beat somebody up don't make you a champion.
Right.
It takes a quality kind of heart to be a champion. You see, everybody not, you might can win some fights, but everybody not a champion.
You heard that, Floyd Mayweather? You heard that? I'm just saying.
You
heard that, Money Mayweather?
Yeah, it takes a certain, you gotta have integrity, character, things of that nature. But that's my definition of what a champion is.
Right, I hear you, definitely.
You know, it's a certain kind of mindset that I have. You know what I mean? I do a lot of reading and studying, man, and I find out, man, these dudes that wrote books, man, in 1910, teaching
mm-hmm.
dudes how to be men.
Right.
You know, about a code of honor. And you don't even hear them kind of words no more. No, you're supposed to have a code. Each man should have a code of honor. Certain things and restrictions and holds, you know what I mean? And everybody got their line that they draw, but they don't really understand what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
they
sir.
You know, and so my thing, I touches on them kind of things. I'm like, man, you know, if you look at my Balanced Warrior emblem, man, that's my crest, man.
Right.
You know, it's serious, and I ain't just playing with this
it's
stuff.
Real, it's real
to
feel. I hear
you. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so we got to intentionally understand that we are in a position to change lives, affect lives, and they are doing it. It's just that a lot of the ways they're affecting the lives are counterproductive. And
that's
the fans that make them do what they are.
That's what it is. That's what. So, like, so how tell people how to get in touch with you, man, or, you know, advertise your site, man. How do people get in contact with you?
Well, you definitely get in contact me, balancedwarrior.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or earnestexpectations.com.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much, those are my two websites.
Okay.
And I can be reached, you know, 609-577-4699, or the rap anytime.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
so, yeah, man,
definitely,
man, appreciate you hanging out, man, and dropping some jewels on us, man. You just came from training, right?
Yeah, definitely. Now,
no
I just
doubt.
Left my brother Jim. My brother got a gym that he started, and it's a phenomenal thing going on.
Uh-huh.
When you get on something about boxing, let me know so I can plug him in, because we're from Trenton, where Ike Williams is from. And Ike
right.
Williams was a champion in Trenton, and we had all these gyms, and nobody did anything in his name.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother came up with the idea, Ike Williams Boxing Academy.
Okay.
And so now I'm talking about we you know, we got a little spot now, but we got the city gonna give us a whole firehouse.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So some serious things are jumping off in that respect. And now, you know, that's part of my little workout regimen. I'm 50 years old, man, so I get shit in, I do my thing.
That's what
you know
it
what
is.
I mean? Yeah, that's definitely what, and once again, it's to be inspiration to people. You know what I mean? I'm not showing off, you know what I mean? But I did tell a dude the other day, the reason why I don't dye my hair is when you see what I can do, it leave that much of an impact. You know
Give
what I mean?
Something else to talk about. That's right.
Give
everybody's scared
else,
to
right.
be everybody's scared to be who they are, man.
Yeah, man.
And that's crazy to me. I never got that, you know, and so, but it is what it is, man. You know, sometimes, you know, lessons are hard to learn sometimes, but they always stick once you get it. But again, man, we appreciate you calling, man. You know what I mean? And I'm looking forward to
having me, beloved.
No doubt, man, no doubt. And I'm going to talk to you behind the scenes, my dude, because I definitely got, you know, we want to definitely get into the boxing thing because we got fights coming up and stuff like that, and definitely want to talk more about the Ike Williams Boxing Academy and all that, man. So definitely appreciate it. You can hang out, man. We're here for another 30 minutes. We're going to get into some hard-body sports before we get out of here, man. But definitely, man, give my man Solomon Dinkins some applause, please, for coming down and dropping some jewels and talking about how it's supposed to be. There it is. That's what it is. So that's how we do, man. So you're welcome to hang out, man. We're about to get back in on the sports tip, man. And thanks for calling, man. It's all love, man. I'm going to definitely holler at you behind the scenes.
All right, one, beloved.
All right, that's what it is. Solomon Dinkins, Balanced Warriors, Earnest Expectations in the building, man. Trying to, you know, brothers get their little, you know, they wardrobe and dress game up, man. I didn't know that you wasn't supposed to match a tie with a pocket square. So you learn something new every day. So that's what it is. That's the jewel I got out of it. So, Key, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
No doubt. Zig, you still with me?
Yeah, I am.
I appreciate you, my brother. It's going down. So what do you think? What did you get out of or anything to add to the conversation that that the brother Solomon had dropped for us tonight? Don't all talk at once now.
Oh, I didn't know you
I know who you're talking to.
No, I thought you told him. I thought you told him.
Well, that you did not have to match a tie. Is that a tie in the
pocket square?
Not supposed to be the same.
Right.
I learned that was something new for me.
Yeah, me too. I didn't realize that, my dude. I thought that was how it was supposed to go. If it didn't match, then something was
wrong. That's how my old man told me. When I first started going to church,
right?
Like, you know, put my tie on and he used to put the handkerchief or whatever.
Yeah.
It was always the same color.
That's what it is. That's how I was taught. But now, hey, you know, it is what it is. So do you keep?
Different because my generation, I did different because in church, a lot of guys don't wear it the same way. A lot of guys now wearing polka dots and stripes, and they're looking, you know, they don't wear it. I know that they don't wear it the same way. And I'm only talking about those late age, you know, I see the way in church. They don't. Mm-hmm. Exactly right with the bow tie.
Right.
And with the corsage, with the boutonniere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a story about when you want to be, I guess, the fed fast, or you want to know, you want to be like somebody, but you don't know the reason why they are. They have that, or they're wearing it.
Sometimes you gotta act.
He is absolutely correct. Because everybody wants to put on a, you know how you see everybody wearing like a bracelet around their arm, because somebody else wearing a bracelet. You don't know the reason why they're wearing that bracelet.
Right.
You
want
to put one on your arm because everybody's wearing it. That's no. You have to find out why that person's wearing that bracelet.
Are you a leader, or are you just a follower? Because
a lot of followers.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He absolutely was on point about that dressing, about certain things, because certain attire. It speaks volume. It shows your character. You come out looking like somebody gonna perceive. That's exactly how you are.
Right. Right, and again, it's just like a thing where it's like, you know, do we differentiate from generations? Is it a generational thing, or is it just a trendy thing, or, you know, because I really don't have no problem with, you know, them cats wearing them capris. They paid for them. That's good. They can do what they want to do. But the image that you're presenting, it's kind of like, you know, when people say, oh, well, I'm going to wear that, too, and I'm going to wear that, too. If that's not really you, why are you rocking that?
Everybody ain't got a body.
What works for them might not work for you.
Yeah, because every cat I know ain't 6'8 and 260 and can wear things like that. And can wear body shirts and...
And making hundreds of millions of dollars where it really don't matter what you say. You know what I mean? But, again, you know, we just try to, you know, add a little different situation to ask the further review, man, because it's pertinent, you know what I mean, to what's going on, because I was trying to, you know, was talking about the capri pants and things of that nature, and really, where did that trend start? Like,
that ain't no trend. That trend has not started. That's just something that comes from certain guys. Believe me, my brothers. And then they all, you know, whatever. My brother says there's no way, and they believe me. There's no way. That's no trend. He's just doing that because he's doing that. But isn't no man putting on no capri pants and no is it
they call them capri pants?
Whatever,
some baggy shorts, mother.
Nobody. They said, you know, he said that's LeBron's friend. That's not the men's friend. Nobody. I don't care if you love basketball, whatever. Is it no man going out there to put on no canary capri pants?
Hell, he wore a suit today, so you know he here. I mean, with social media and everybody coming up with all these different pictures.
Make no sense. See how he's looking.
With all these different pictures and all this, you know, all these different pictures, because everybody got phones in their pocket now.
Right.
We come to a day of age where you can't get away with nothing.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
For the most part, so, you know, he hears the rumble. He hears what people be saying about him in his capri pants. So he may not say, because I've heard him say before that when the playoffs start, he don't look at his Twitter. I don't buy that.
Right.
I don't buy that. I do not buy that. You do not pick up your phone. You may not say nothing, but you're aware of what's going on. You're aware of what's going on. And if he's so much hot right now, that even if he don't see it, somebody gonna bring it to him.
Somebody gonna say,
"You see what such and such saying about you, or you see this, or about these capri pants, or that you got on, or do you and Dwayne, you and D Wade had on, and all this." They see it.
So a certain class of guys, and you got to think like Westbrook the same way. You don't see, you know, the norm guys, like you're not going to see like the Memphis guys. They wore suits, a shirt, blazer, and they carried on. You didn't see none of those guys with that, you know. Same thing.
But
with
you know
Santa
who
Antonio.
Else got on? They own different type of looks, and it's kind of neat, and it's kind of different, but they still got, and it's not crazy. I like the Durant where he got that backpack.
Last year I was peeping him with the backpack.
He got the little backpack like he about to go to class or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of football players have that. That was their trend, because when you go to football camp, that's what they have on when they coming down the dorm.
Okay.
Every time you take pictures, if you look at my picture, every time you look at the pictures, they got backpacks in their back, like they coming from class or whatever. That football players is known for that, because they come from the dorm. Walking down there, when you go to spring camp and you go up to patrol, we see those guys coming down from the university, coming down from the dorm, that every one of them got like a backpack or they got something on their back or whatever, and they walk to the training room before they come out to meet the fans and meet them, whatever. They've been wearing that trend, football players.
Is it a LeBron driving to the hole, stop, raise it up, finger roll, 0.4 seconds on the clock, Indiana 48, Miami 47, 0.4 on the clock. Indiana's just going to inbound and play it out. Throw it on the ground. Let me touch it. There you go.
They took their best punch. They took it.
48-47 at the half. So, and I think that I was just in and out of this game.
See
but
that?
I'm not. I don't think LeBron and them is liking how
see
it's
that?
Going on.
You see that? You see that?
Hey, they took their best punch. I DVR because I know I was going to this thing. I don't mess around. I DVR because I know I would be distracted. So I don't play around. I DVR my games and I watch them.
Quick score check update, right quick. First period, 3 minutes left. San Jose 0, LA Kings 0. Mets and the Yankees, they're underway now at Citi Field.
Yeah.
No score, top of the fourth. So they got a little score updates right there. Good pitching matchup tonight at Citi Field, man. Matt Harvey. I like that kid. Matt Harvey, he's doing his numbers. Kuroda's doing his numbers too for the Yankees. Don't get it twisted.
He really is doing his numbers.
Yeah, he's and quiet as kept. He's like the best pitcher the Yankees got.
He is the best pitcher the Yankees got.
I'm feeling my show tonight, man. Shout out to all the people that call in and the conversation is flowing, man. Shout out to Rich holding it down behind the scenes, and Mr. Sabino on the board and all that. Shout out to the listeners, man. 646-200-3838 is the number to call, man. And press 1 if you want to get in on the conversation, because you know how it goes down, man. It's free-flowing, you know what I mean? So if you got something to contribute to the conversation, you're more than welcome to press 1, man, and get it in with the mayor, man, and the usual suspects as it goes down after further review.
I get a little text on my phone. Jamarcus Russell lost 50 pounds, so he's looking good. You got a couple of teams interested. I'm just trying to figure out who is interested.
I want to shout out Kia for even putting us on to the latest exploits of Jamarcus Russell.
I'm trying to see what is he going to do? What is he out waste? I'm trying to see who a team.
I have no idea.
Do you remember that 20 and 20?
What team is going to pick him up?
Do you remember that 20 and 20, that 30 and 30 update that special that was on about a month ago?
Yeah.
About him? Yeah. So, wow, he actually did it. Somebody going to pick him up because somebody can't.
Somebody going to take a flyer on Jamarcus Russell? You think
ain't
so?
Nobody picking him up.
I mean, stranger things have happened.
If he stays in shape. If he stays in shape, somebody's going to pick him up.
He lost 50 pounds. It's going to be interesting. That's what I said, because it's going to be interesting. Who's
I didn't say he was not
going to
be no number one starter. Somebody's going
to
pick him up.
You're going to have to keep the tweezers in his back pocket to take the splinters out of there. But, yeah, so.
Might
be that too, but Chris, but hey, somebody gonna pick him up.
He's
still young,
I mean,
too.
Like you said, we're in a different
like
age right now. Anything is possible. Anything.
It's not like he's 30. It's not like he's T.O. or Chad Ocho. You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah, so,
that's true. If he's but like Kia said, who's gonna take that chance?
Somebody will.
It's three GMs sitting in the room right now. You got Kia, you got Rodney Z, and you got the mayor. So now, I'm not signing. So it's up to y'all. Y'all can have
him.
I'm not signing that dude, man.
Hey,
I can't do it.
I tell you what, the reason why I say no for us is because we trying to get there. We ain't got time to be, we don't have time to actually be sitting here waiting to see.
For
you
this
know what
dude, right.
Nah, actually, we was somebody like a Pittsburgh Steelers or something.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, we know.
All
we
right, so, Kia, lock up all the cough syrup. Lock all the cough syrup up, all the Mountain Dew, lock it up.
And you know what? His press conference, you know, he did the 20s, the 30s, he talked about how disappointed he was when he came out and the weight. He gained a lot of weight, and they were talking about him. And
he was almost 300 pounds. Was he over 300 pounds?
He was 340.
Ooh.
340.
He wasn't getting in no Capri pants.
He lost a lot of weight. He's at the point, he got a known trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Who trained a lot of people. He did have a known trainer. And
right.
He's at the point now that he's looking good. He's in shape. Now the thing was, we're from that. It's possible teams that are interested in him. And the thing why I said it, because I can't wait to see who is interested. I just can't wait
if he got his body together and his body's right, what about the space between his ears? Is that going to be right?
That's what matters right there.
Space between his ears. That's what we're talking about right there, you know?
His agent got the best quarterback coaches around him now. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that they did find.
It's all about what you do. Hey, Chris, it's all about what you do between Monday and Saturday.
Yes, sir. You're right. I mean, and you know, we're just having this conversation right here. I'm willing to say, you know what? Everybody deserves a second chance or whatever, man. Everybody, he was young. You just threw $100 million at him. He's not from that. You know what I mean? So it's a different atmosphere. You're in a different, way of life right now. But still, go ahead, Z.
That's why the NFL coaches, that's why the NFL has come up with, they have, I was reading this book, and then I also seen it on Mike and Mike, where the NFL coaches, NFLPA, have actually, where if you sign somebody that young at 18, 19 years old at 100 million, they give you life coaches. Because that's a sticker shock. Somebody throwing that type of money into you and you thrust into the limelight like that. Wow.
Yeah, it's true, man. I mean,
and
cause,
that's what Iverson got at his, because even though they say Iverson is broke, no, Iverson can't touch money.
No, Iverson ain't broke.
Iverson ain't broke.
He got money.
He got that money from Reebok.
He's bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he filed bankrupt don't mean he ain't broke.
Right.
He can't touch that money because that money, he can't touch that money until he turns 35. I think he can't touch about 50 million. He can't touch none of that money.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of, and then you know what? I don't blame these owners, my dude, because, you know, it used to be a situation where, you know, you would sign your deal playing football, baseball, what have you, and then you would go skiing or jump out of bungee jumping or some crazy stuff like that. You know what I mean? And these owners have come to the realization, like, this is an investment. I got $100 million invested in this dude.
I'll put this out in the contract.
Stuff that you can't do.
Hey, Rooney, hey, kid, did Rooney ever did Rooney ever put in on the Steelers ever put in on Ben's contract not to ride no bikes in the off season no more?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about when Ben Roethlisberger had the accident.
Yeah, he got a clause. Ben got a C clause in his contract now.
Oh, okay.
He has been out of trouble since then. His contract, that he had that when once he got that hard talk from Terry Bradshaw, you ain't never heard nothing out of Ben.
How do you feel about the statement that he made in regards to these quarterbacks? You know, they haven't done anything.
I believe him. He's not the only one that said that.
I don't mean to interrupt y'all, but Bartello throwing a three-hitter through six.
Say again?
I said I didn't mean to interrupt y'all, but to change the subject, but Bartello is throwing a no-hitter through six, a three-hitter through six.
Your boy, Rick Porcello.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, to slide that one in there. I see you. It's no score after six, right?
Yep.
Pirates, Tigers, no doubt, man. Thanks for the update. It's crazy. I
agree because a lot of, cause you know what it is? Everybody is pissed with that top 100. It's coming out from big. It comes from the Hall of Fame. They were all talking about it. They said that whole list is a sham.
But what everybody don't really realize that top 100.
There's no way you put somebody like, they said you put guys like, okay, I'm talking about Suggs down in Baltimore. He got pushed back maybe 15 spots back. You know, but he had the ACL tour. You talk about big name guys got pushed back in some of these other cases. That's why they're going to be scrutinized this whole season. Ponder.
That's
Seattle's
what they
coach.
That's for 2012. That was for 2012, though. That wasn't for a career. That was just for 2012.
No, they talking about the play. Right, they talking about the top 100 players voted because that whole list is a sham. There's no way, and I'm not just saying because he's my friend. There's no way Ben should be at 61. 61.
Yeah, but my thing
61?
Is, isn't it the retired players that's voting?
No.
I thought
the current players and the coaches in the front office were voting.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
current players,
no.
The players.
That's the list. The current athlete is the current athlete.
And they
got
because
I seen Warren Sapp on there the other day. That's why I was asking.
Warren Sapp, yo, he's gonna be, Tampa Bay Hall of Fame and all that. I can't stand that dude.
I can't stand Warren Sapp.
Listen, I met him in the club one night, yo. Word is bond. Real talk. I met Warren Sapp. I think we was at an event, Dana Dane or something. Somebody was having a party in Manhattan, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, Warren Sapp. And so I get up out of my chair. I'm kind of like, well, I'm feeling a little buzzed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm way bigger than this dude. Warren Sapp is a little short dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, snap. So I'm going to the bar, whatever. You know, whatever. You know, what's good? Nah. I didn't approach him on no groupie stuff or whatever. He turns around and looks at me and rolled his eyes at me like a little woman and was like, yo, I'm not signing the autograph. I said, son, I ain't come over here for your autograph. I just came over here. I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan. And you represent me. So now we ain't on the football. And I said, okay, shorty, I got you.
Wow.
And I said, that's all I could think of. I was like, okay, shorty, I got
you.
And that turned me off from Warren Sapp.
Wow.
I really didn't like Warren Sapp as it is, but I didn't know him as a person.
Me
wow.
being a grown man, I can't actually, you know what, though? As me being a grown man, I didn't done it when I used to work at the airport and I was young and I didn't know no better. But since I came of age, I can't see myself asking a grown man for an autograph.
I'm not asking him to acknowledge him. Like, yo, you play for my team.
I'm saying?
But that experience was kind of like a turnoff for me, man. All I could think of to say when I walked away from the bar was like, okay, shorty, I'll talk to you later. He looked at me and he was like, hey, what? Hey, all right, shorty. You know what I'm saying?
My
you
favorite
know
sports
I can't
announcer.
Stand him.
I met,
you know
like,
I, can't
like
stand
I was saying,
him.
When I was working at Metro Airport when I was like 22, 23, and this is back in the day when Michigan had the Fab Five.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like 91, 92. Well, anyway, I was working at the airport, and you remember when they used to have Big Mondays and on ESPN, and they used to have the Big Ten, the Big East, Big Ten, and then back in the day when UNLV used to be the mess. And they used to have the conference that UNLV used to play in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, this one particular Monday, well, it was on a Tuesday. They had played Purdue. And I was sitting here, and I had my back turned, and all of a sudden I just heard a guy coming walking, standing behind me, talking about, "Oh, baby, did you see Jalen last night? I just love me some Jalen. I just love me some Jalen." I was like, damn, that sounds like...
Falling over him like a little
like
woman,
right there.
Man.
I'm not big on that.
No doubt.
And the reason why, you know, I don't like Fat, but Fat Rod, our defense, he's talking about our defense, and then everybody come back to him and say, "Fat, well, you always talk about the Steelers' defense, oh, but they always run into and everything. Why do they always talk, whatever?" And the same thing about how he always talk about he was tough, and this thing, don't nobody trust his bitchy, don't nobody do this, and him, and then him and Joey got that thing, and then when they come out to say that Joey Porter choked him up, he ain't got nothing to say this about the Steelers no more.
He got me a ring. I appreciate him. I appreciate him for getting me a ring and all that. But I said it that night. When we beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl, I said it that night, Kia. I said it that night, Z. I said, "Yo, you let Keyshawn Johnson and Warren Sapp get a ring, you ain't going to never hear the end of it."
No, you let Brad Johnson get a ring.
Brad Johnson, you ain't going to never hear the end of it.
Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer had the type of defense to the point where you, as a head coach, the only thing you could tell them to was, "Please, don't make a mistake.
This is the game. That's all I need you to do. That is the game for me. That's it.
Don't lose it because you're only going to throw the ball 15 times a game.
Listen, we're down to the last 5 minutes of the show, so it's just the three of us rocking, and the listeners, we see you too. So like how we do every week, man, we go, you know, get out of here. Everybody going to have their little say, speak their mind before we get out of here till next week. So, Key, I'm going to let you set it off. We got 5 minutes left, so make it happen.
I'm just ready for the Patriots to be dethroned the Heat. That's what I'm looking for, dethroning. the coordination of the dethroning of the Heat.
I thought you were going to say something about it's 100 days till September 5th or something like that.
I'm just got to worry about them getting out first, and then I'm like, no doubt, that's what it is.
So, Z, what's good, man? You got anything you want to add before we get out of here?
I want to say that I do not want to go to the United Center tomorrow. That's the goal.
And I cross
my fingers and, hey, oh well.
Yeah, I hear you, my dude. I hear you. It's gonna be crazy tomorrow night, man. Detroit Chicago game 7 tomorrow night, man, in Chicago. Tonight, man, end of the first period, San Jose 0, Los Angeles Kings 0. So that's a game 7 right there. You know, halftime at the Pacers and the Heat. I guess everybody enjoyed the rest of the game, man. We out until next week, but you know, it's been a lovely week. Great show, man. I appreciate the show, man. Thanks for everybody for calling in. Shout out to the usual suspects. We got Key in the building. My man Rodney Z, blowing it up from Michigan and all that. Shout out to my man, first time caller, kicked it with me for a few minutes. Prime Time was in the building. You know what I mean? Shout out to the homie Solomon Dinkins, man, Balance Warrior. EarnestExpectations.com in the building, man. So that's how we do it, man. We try to throw curveballs at people, man. You know what I mean? We talk sports, we go in, but we also talk about the issues of the day, man, and how it affects us, man. So this is the mayor in the building, man, GQ Palace Sports. After further review, it goes down every morning. You know how I do it, man. Shout out to all the hosts, man. GQ Palace, my man Dallas does his thing, man. My eardrums are still bleeding from that, but it's all good. Shout out to the hosts on Thursday with the relationship situation. Shout out to the honeys that's doing it tomorrow night. Shout out to the big homie Rich doing it on Friday night, man. Might hear a little music from the mayor sometime in the near future. Nah, I mean, get ready for that because it's going down. Shout out to my man Rich. Shout out to Lavina holding down the bell and the crowd noise and all that. Shout out to the listeners for listening. Shout out to everybody, man. Again, man, what's the situation with Porcello? He still got the no-hitter?
Yes, he does. No, he got a three-hitter.
Got a three-hitter going on now. Okay. Still no score at Citi Field, 0-0, Mets and the Yankees. That's what it is. So, yeah, Mets and the Yankees doing their thing, no score. Next week we'll probably be talking about the finals. So check us out, man. Every Tuesday it goes down, Hard Body Karate, man. 646-200-3838
is the math. And it's about that time for the Detroit to run away with the division, the Tigers.
Oh, okay. So we're going to do an update on the Tigers and see where they at.
Y'all do an update on the Yankees and see where they at. So it goes down, man. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this is your first time listening, check us out next week, man. 8 to 10, it goes down every week. We're here, man. TQ Palace after further review. This is the mayor, and I'm out. Peace.
To the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from Reno to Jefferson to the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin to pure ugly. Hug me, polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter it, miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, nav, you're glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dude's house, spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the duck on that Turner style, untainted. I'm a messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, every Ben Ross right. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and TC, gotta take it easy. Stop to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rhyme, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep saying I. Wild parable, GQ, non-comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Making major moves, GQ, it's colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.